Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
All right, back to our question. Lots of people sending in texts. Communication seems to be the key here, by the way, for a lot of people. Good sex, says somebody else. Yeah, those things are important too. Yes, Niall, no secrets is a good reason that people would be married for a long time. And people say not sleeping in the same room. Now, I don't know how well that would work for a lot of people. Anyway, we're talking about it because Michael D, obviously, and his wife. Now, we don't want to talk about specifically Michael D and his missus, by the way, but they're celebrating their golden wedding anniversary. Well done to them. Congratulations to you both. But what is the secret to a good, strong, happy relationship between man and wife? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Eddie, hi, how are you?
How are you, Noel? You well?
Good. Eddie, I think you wanted to talk about something different altogether, but go on.
Well, so to me, the secret of a good relationship stroke marriage, trust, honesty, integrity, communication, laughter, adventure, and nice tits. Right?
I like see where your priorities are. The nice tits was down the end.
Right.
Yeah.
So my mate's actually listening in from Liverpool right now, right? And I put him onto your show. I put him onto this for this topic, right? So my mate is in a loveless marriage, right?
Right. Okay.
He's not respected. He's taken for granted. They're in different rooms. He's now in his 50s and he realizes time is running out for happiness.
I hope his missus is not listening. Don't mention his name, by the way, please. Don't mention his name.
No. They can't afford to live apart, but he wants company. What should he do? He's only staying together for the sake of the kids, but they're all growing up.
How old are the kids?
20 to 30.
Well, then he's not staying together for the sake of the kids. That's a load of shite.
No, it's finances. He can't afford to live apart.
Okay, and where are the kids living?
At home.
Oh, they're all living at home as well?
Yeah, well, that's Dublin, Noel. You know, half of Leeds in Dublin, what, 440,000 adults living with adults?
Yeah,
so
no,
he's in
I get
situation,
that. Yeah.
And he doesn't know what to do.
Well, here's the thing. I would say to your mate, this is, if I was his mate, and I'm Eddie talking to him, and I would say, do you want to get, how old is he now, by the way?
Early 50s.
Okay. Does he want to get to 70 and be towards the end of his life where he starts to feel a little bit of ill health, he's slowing down, the aches and pains in his back and he's old and he's a little bit, you know, older than he is now and getting closer to death. Does he want to get to that point in his life and look back and go, jeez, I should have done this when I was 50. I should have got out of this when I was 50. In other words, he could find happiness now. Yes, there will be turmoil. There will be absolute turmoil for a year probably. While they're going through the mess of sorting out a separation or a divorce or whatever it happens to be and who gets what and how many houses they get or how many cars they have or how much money they have, all that kind of stuff. And yes, the kids will go back and forward and despise him and they will despise her.
He's already said this to me. He'd love to walk tomorrow.
Well then, now when you say walk tomorrow, okay, I think that he should try, well, try his best to do it amicably. Sit down, cup of coffee, cup of tea with the missus, you know, and have a friendly conversation. Say, listen, here's the situation, right? I don't despise you. I don't dislike you. I don't hate you, but I don't love you anymore. And, you know,
I said that wrong when I said he'd like to walk tomorrow.
Yeah.
But me knowing me, mate, I know he wants happiness, right?
Yeah, okay. Well, why can't he just say it? Because I'm sure she feels the same way. I'm pretty sure she does.
They're just stuck to bound by finances.
But then that's something they can work on together because I'm sure she feels the same way, you know. And if he's in a
situation now where he likes somebody,
okay,
and nothing's happened yet.
No, because he doesn't want to have an affair. That's man. That's good of him not to want to have an affair. So listen, sit down with the missus, and I'm sure if this is the way he feels at the moment, the marriage is clearly not happy. And I'm sure she feels exactly the same way. And maybe she feels she'd be better off with somebody else and she's just waiting for him to make the first move. I don't know.
But you know what? He tells me she's oblivious. She's just like everything.
Ah, but just stop. She's not stupid. Women are not stupid. She's not oblivious.
You know?
Women are not... Don't take women for fools. If he's not interested in her anymore, you know, obviously that's showing in the bedroom. It's showing everywhere. So if he's not really interested in love with her, she'll absolutely know about it. So sit down with her and say, listen, I don't dislike you, you know, I think you're an amazing person. I still love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. So look, and I think you probably feel the same way. And I want us both to be happy. But I understand we have a huge financial responsibility here to three children. And we have a home and we have everything else and it's going to be difficult. But maybe if we sat down and worked this out together, in an amicable fashion, we can both be happy going forward.
Yeah, well, look.
Is he terrified? Do you think he's terrified to do that?
Oh, 100% won't do that. I said everyone in life, you only get one go around and everyone's entitled to happiness.
Yeah.
That's my
motto. That's it.
Everyone's entitled to happiness.
Yeah.
Right?
Couldn't agree with you more. Because
you were in that situation yourself. But he's now in his 50s and she's in her 50s and he's like, if we split up, like, sell the house, where do the kids live? Where do I go? Because I'm not getting back on the property ladder. I don't want to be stuck renting in my 50s. And all of this is frightening. And I think he's just going to end up staying unhappy.
But you can't stay unhappy. That's you can't be miserable for your life. So by the way, the amount of people listening right now who are in marriages or relationships who are saying to themselves, I wish I wasn't in this relationship, but I'm kind of bound by finances or bound by kids or whatever it is. And that's really, really sad. People should, you have a responsibility and a duty to yourself. You have one life on this planet from 0 to 80. One life. You only get one go at it. You don't get a second shot, you know, and you don't want to get to 70 or 80 years of age, look back and say, why didn't I do something when I was 40 or 50? I've just wasted 40 years of my life miserably unhappy with a person that I wasn't in love with. Why would you do that?
No, I agree with you, but I can see his fear as well, you know? I'm just interested now when people listening in, what their take on it is.
Well, okay, well, we'll get their take anyway. But your ingredients for a happy marriage, apart from boobs, which you said at the end.
Yeah, trust, honesty, integrity, communication, adventure, excitement, laughter, all of that.
And boobs.
Put it all in a big pot, store it up, and there you go, voila, love.
Okay. So you're a boob. Yeah. By the way, you are a boob man. You mentioned that. Okay.
Oh, no, I was just joking. I was just joking.
Okay, Ian, hi. How are you doing, Ian? Not obviously very well. Ian, are you there? He's gone.
No, I'm here.
Oh, you're there, are you? Yeah, can turn off the radio in the background. You're in delay mode.
Yeah, I'm in the car, sorry.
Yeah, that's great. If you could just turn off the radio, that'd be super. So, Ian, what's the ingredients for a good relationship?
Teamwork.
Yep.
Good. Teamwork. Agree with you.
Yeah.
Everything has to be, you know, team. That's the honesty, you know, and no secrets. That's the main thing. It has to be no secrets and just work as a team and tackle everything together.
Yeah.
The
good with the bad.
And that, I get it. Like, my parents are in their 80s now and they're 66 years together.
Wow.
They've never known another man or a woman.
That's brilliant.
Neither of them.
Yeah.
The dying bridge, you know what I mean? And what I see of them is what I put into my relationship, you know what I mean?
And how long are you married?
Yeah. Well, I'm only a year and a half married now.
Yeah.
But I was with my ex for 18 years.
Okay.
And there was never, ever a conversation, nothing about marriage, engagement, nothing all through that 18 years.
Right.
And we broke up, and we broke up for the reasons I'm not going to put on radio.
Yep, that's your business.
And then I met my wife today, a year later, and I met her in 2021, in October 2021. I got engaged to her on Valentine's Day of 2022. I was married to her in October 2022.
It's a whirlwind.
We had a fourth baby October gone.
That's a bit of a whirlwind romance, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Okay, well done. And are you happy?
To be honest with you, I've never been happier in all of my life, in all honesty, because I met the woman, you know what I mean? It took me, I'm touching 50, it took me nearly 50 years to meet the woman that I have today, and I call her my best friend.
Yeah.
Which, you know what I mean?
That's a good name, good title for her. Yeah.
My teammate. Do you know what I mean? That she's my teammate. We tackle everything together as a team.
Yeah.
I
would be the same. I feel the same way about my wife. We work together as a team. You know, if she doesn't want to do something, we talk about it, you know, and we decide together what we're going to do, and we do it in unison and we cooperate with each other, and that's the way it has to work. Because if it doesn't work like that, it's not going to work. But, okay, back to Eddie's mate's problem. So he's in a miserable marriage, but he's afraid to get out of it because of the financial pressures and, you know, the fact that kids involved. Well, the kids are older now, they're over 20. But what should he do? Should he just leave?
I think it's time now to pack up and leave. He's talking about his financial and his obligation to his kids. His obligation to his kids is basically he's done. You know what I mean? He's served his obligation. They're in their 20s and their 30s. You know what I mean? There's no more he can do for them. I understand the situation of accommodation and housing in Dublin at the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
it's time for him and his wife to sit down now and say, wait, we're going to sell this house. There's plenty of houses out on the outskirts in the country that you can go to, and you can sell houses, and you can buy two houses. You can sell one house in Dublin, and you can buy two houses
in rural Ireland.
You know,
yeah.
In rural Ireland somewhere. Do you know what I mean? And like, there is other,
yeah. But that might be complicated if this lad has, you know, kids who are working close by or in college, or I'm assuming they're in college or in work.
Yeah, but like, you know,
but you can't. My argument is you can't be responsible for your children all your life.
No, you can't. And like, I've known people now that have been in that situation in the last 10, 15 years, and they're 6 feet under now because it got the strain got so much on them that they ended up taking their own lives.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, and that has to be, you know.
Oh, I'm sure the man is. I mean, I'm sure Eddie would tell us. I'm sure the man is depressed out of his mind. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, and it's just one part.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's and he has to make him happy. He's done. Like, he's at the spending the last 30 odd years making other people happy and doing it. Now it's time for his happiness.
Yeah,
it's
I'd agree
time
with
for
you.
Him to, not working.
Yeah, he's listening, by the way, at the moment, I believe. Yeah.
18 years I was with the ex, and it just wasn't, and we had to go, and she's off doing her thing, and I'm off, and I'm the happiest I've ever been.
So in the previous marriage, without going too deeply into the reasons why you broke up, obviously some of the ingredients of a happy marriage were missing. And I would agree. Yeah. I think what happens, and most people will tell you that when they meet somebody for the second time around, maybe after divorce or separation, you get more of those ingredients that you wanted. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you know where the other one failed. Yeah.
I thought that I was in my previous, that I was going to, like, this is like, this was it. This is
for
all
life.
For the rest
yeah.
of the life.
Yeah.
Of my life. You know
yeah,
what I
yeah.
mean?
Most
and
people do.
There was nothing else there. You know what I mean? And no one else would ever love me, or I'd never be able to love anyone.
Oh, that's sad.
But then when I actually got out and I seen what's out there, and Eddie has said that he's, there's somebody there that he's actually feeling that he hasn't nothing.
His eye on.
Know, once he actually gets there and he has that relationship with her and things, and he starts getting happy, you know what I mean, and having happy and doing joyous things, going out and, you know, dating as you do for the first 6 months of dating in any relationship is, like, you know what I mean, it's the best part of any relationship, you know what I mean, and he just has to, you know, even
grab the bull by the horns. And yes, it's going to be difficult because there's going to be financial pressures of separation or divorce or whatever it happens to be. But, you know, Eddie, what I would say in that relationship is that they, both of them, him and his ex-missus, will adapt. They will adapt.
Yeah.
I mean, there may be bills to pay, or there's no maintenance to pay at this stage of their lives because the kids are all over the age of 18, depending on what jurisdiction he's in, over 18 usually. So there's no maintenance to pay. I don't know if there's a mortgage involved. Or if the house can be sold, if there's equity in the house or whatever, I don't know. But I mean, Ian is right. It may be a case of having to relocate so they can afford two houses, or, you know, two smaller dwellings rather than the bigger one they might have at the moment. That might be what they have to do. But
the main message is you get one go at it.
Yeah.
You know?
One go.
You get one go at it. Grab happiness wherever you can get it.
Yeah, look at Ian. He's a much happier man now.
Every morning you open your club, nobody knows what they're opening the day up to. Nobody knows what's going to come up that day. You do not know, you know what I mean? And you just have to live for the day. And if you can live and be happy in that day, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You know what I mean? You do not know. So you live for the day and you make that day that you're living for the happiest you can be. You know what I mean?
And sitting in a house with somebody that you're not loving anymore is not the answer.
No, it's not.
It's miserable.
It's not really for him, and it's not really for her, and obviously it's probably not really for the kids because they're seeing it as well. Like, you know what I mean?
Of course, he reckons, according to Eddie, his mate reckons his wife has no idea that he doesn't love her anymore, and I'm going, that's ridiculous. Of course she knows. She has to know.
But is that the saying that they're living in, say, they're sleeping in separate rooms and all? Do you know what I mean?
Are they sleeping in separate rooms as well, Eddie?
Yeah.
Ah, it's pointless.
You know, so, like, obviously, you know what I mean? She has to know something, you know.
Of course
what I mean?
She knows. It's not stupid. And for all he knows, Eddie, she could be playing the field too.
Yeah, I doubt it, but there is a slight possibility.
Yeah. He needs to really seriously get his act together. Stay there for a second. Let me go to Sean in Galway. Sean, hi, how are you? Or John. Sorry, John.
John. How's it going, Niall?
How you doing, John?
Yeah. I'm a bit old. I'm 64 now, but...
You're not a bit old. Just stop saying that.
No, I met my wife and I was... The Pope was coming to Ballybrit. So I was 79. And we had kids young and we were deeply in love. We had two kids in the early 80s. And then back in 2000, 22 or 23 years later, but what I'd say is, with forgetting all that, getting back to the marriage, teamwork is the main thing.
Mm.
Tell one another, being a team, and don't let your wife go back to college when she's in her 50s, because she'll end up being too fucking smart.
Is this personal experience, John? Yeah.
They go back and they get a degree and then they get arrogant. And
heaven forbid your wife might be intelligent.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with being intelligent, but when they start throwing it back at you, telling you you should go back to college as well and all that kind of stuff. Anyways, alcohol is a big problem with a lot of marriages nowadays.
Oh, absolutely, you know? Yeah. Alcohol destroys marriages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wrecks them. Yeah. It wrecked our marriage, really. We were up to 2008, we were flying, absolutely flying. And it was a combination of me working too much and too much alcohol in the house. Wife got hooked up. She's great now. We've divorced and she's flying.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're happier now. So have you met somebody else?
No. Neither of us have anyone else.
Okay. Okay, so are you happy not being with somebody else?
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm here with the dog and I'm in a bad place, really.
All right,
she's okay. She doesn't want to be.
Okay, you don't need to be talking about her. She's not on the air. So what was I going to say? So you're not happy. You're on your own now, yeah?
Well, I am. I'm here. Like, you're the first person I've probably talked to in a week. Like,
oh, right.
Well, I guess I have WhatsApp with my kids and that.
John, do you not go out?
Yeah, go for a swim. I do.
You need to join a men's shed.
No, I haven't been in a restaurant or the pub in maybe a year or two. Now, I would have wine at home here in the house with a meal. I wouldn't drink without a meal. I just have a glass of wine.
Okay, but I'm wondering what your day consists of. Do you go out to the shop or would you meet people out on a walk or something?
Oh, yeah. I chat up the girls and Duns. And I've been trying to shift a few of the girls and the women in the trolleys. I follow the trolleys around Duns. That's my life now. It's very sad.
Shifting women and Duns is your life, is it?
My social life is Duns, Aldi, and Tesco. Or not Tesco.
Right, have you got a preference? Tesco. Is it? Are they a bit cheaper in Aldi than they are in Duns? I mean.
Oh, yeah, I work around this. I'm not working now at the moment. Unfortunately, everything happened together.
Right. And would you like to meet somebody? Would you like to be in a relationship?
I would, but I don't know if I'd be suitable for anyone. I think I might drive them mad.
Right.
Snoring is a problem. I gave up cigarettes in 2013. You actually gave up cigarettes the same week as me at that time. And I've stayed off them since, but I put on a load of weight.
Right.
So that did have a very bad effect too.
Yeah, but you could lose that again if you wanted to. If you made the effort.
Oh, yes, you're walking up and down the aisles all day long, that'll fall off you.
Yeah, you're walking up and down Dunn stores looking for women. So you're saying the teamwork is the thing here. Okay, by the way, just advice for Eddie's mate. What should Eddie's mate do?
Walk. I don't know how he's going to do it. It's like, I didn't want to. I'd be still with my wife. She got rid of me. But my kids told me I needed to go because I got a couple of beatings. Now, I never hit a girl or woman in my life. But they can hit too, like.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's not get into them either, because they're not on the air either to talk about themselves. Okay, so your advice is communication, teamwork, and your advice for Eddie's mate is just to leave her.
Well, I don't know his total situation. I was very lucky that I had a decent-sized house, and I just went to her and I said, down the middle, we sell the house, we sell everything, put it down the middle. She takes half, I take half.
How'd that work out for you?
Two small little. I have a two-bedroom semi.
Right. So, well, that's what I said to Eddie. Split the money down the middle, buy two little houses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, John. I'm running out of time, and I have to let you go. And I hope things get better from shifting women in Dunster. Jeez, you get all sorts on this show. I swear to God. John, you need to get out more, by the way. Men's sheds is a good idea. Eddie mentions the men's sheds. Eddie, back to your mate, by the way. I'm really thinking about your mate now, and I feel so bad for him. I mean, what a miserable existence that is. I mean, you've talked to him, Eddie, I assume, yeah?
Yeah, I talk to him all the time, every day. You know, geez, if he didn't have me, crack a ball together.
And what?
You know?
And is he not thinking of making the move?
Oh, he's just frightened of what the kids will say, and the whole financial side of it, you know?
But you can't live your life like that. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, you love your kids and everything else, but if the kids make a decision that they want to defend their mother in this situation and he ends up not talking to them for a while, those kind of things unfortunately happen, parental alienation, all that kind of thing, carry on, can happen. But that's only if he deals with it badly. But if he deals with it properly and approaches it from the right direction, and then she, you know, starts getting nasty and horrible, the kids will see that. But I don't think she can get nasty and horrible if he sits down with her and says, you know, and has a reasonable conversation and says, you know, and just to say, make her a dinner some night. Do actually something nice for her and say, listen, you know, I'm doing this for a reason. And it's not because I'm in love with you anymore. It's because I'm not in love with you anymore. And I want to talk to you about this because I want you to be happy, because you're not happy. Clearly you're sleeping in a separate bedroom to me. We're just like housemates here together, you know, for the last 5 years or whatever, 10 years. And I genuinely want us both to be happy, and we're not going to be happy together. So let's see what we can do to provide happiness for us and the children for the rest of our lives. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but look, there is a mortgage involved. There is years left on it.
Okay, but there's still equity.
They wouldn't get back on the property lot. Yeah, but not enough to get two places. You know, not a hope.
It's a difficult situation, you know.
Oh, rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I understand. But you know what?
You know?
You will get through all the financial difficulties. Believe me, I've been there. You will get through all of those. They will cause hardship for a year or two. They will cause problems ongoing for a little while until it all settles and everything is all settled. But eventually he will get to a point and hopefully meet somebody else who he'll fall in love with, be very, very happy with, and he will have inner happiness. Yes, there will be complications. Of course there will. There will be financial stresses and strains, but nothing could be as bad as living in a situation where you're miserably unhappy all of the time.
Yeah, well, he's listening now, so he'll probably give me a bell now after I hang up in a minute, you know?
Yeah, I'm no agony aunt, by the way. He doesn't have to take my advice, you know? But I can tell you just from personal experience, you know, I it's no secret.
That's it. Yeah, I know you've been down that road.
Yeah, when I went through a separation and divorce, that's one thing, right? I was married for 27 years or 26 years, whatever the hell it was, right? But here's the thing. You always think to yourself, this is a nightmare. This is a nightmare. And it was a nightmare. Don't get me wrong. I was so unhappy at one point, this is just after we got separated, you know, that, and it's public knowledge. I mentioned the story in the papers numerous times that I was up at Howth Head one night and I thought I was just better off out of this world. But then I met the most amazing woman, and who I'm now married to, my wife, Karen, and our happiness, we're just like a team. We're like a little team, and we just do everything together. And she's just the most supportive person, you know what I mean? And a wonderful person. And we get on great and we have a great life together. Yeah, there's problems, you know what I mean? things are never perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect, you know, marriage or relationship or perfect life.
Yeah.
There's always going to be problems, but I'm so happy.
Yeah, but any problems,
we face them together.
You talk it through and you get through it together. Yeah
we face them together.
Yeah.
Jane is playing silly music now.
She's
out of control. She's actually out of control now at this stage. She just randomly does, but she's putting on some love song or something there. I don't know what she's doing. Eddie, talk to your friend. It's up to you. You're his mate. You convince him to do the right thing. And the most important thing to say to him is, you don't want to be here talking to me in 30 years' time or 25 years' time, whatever it is, when you're 70 years of age, saying, I should have listened to that bloke on the radio 40 or 30 years ago. And now I'd be much happier with somebody else if I had listened. Because here I am, still miserably unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, because eventually it'll end anyway. He knows that. And he's just wasted another 10 years when it does come to an end. You know? Prime of his life. He's in the prime of his life. You know?
Exactly. That's what I keep saying. You're in the prime of your life. These years, you're never going to get back, you know?
No. Listen, thanks, Eddie. Appreciate it. And give my regards to your mate. Cheers. You know I love you, I always will. look, everybody goes through the troubles and the stripes. And you know what? In my relationship, the troubles and the stripes don't come from internally in my marriage. They come from the external problems. And it's always other people that cause problems in your relationship, by the way. It's usually not yourself. It's other external problems that you have to deal with. But when you're with somebody that you love and you're with somebody that supports you and you're with somebody that you do everything together with, I don't know what it is. Martin, hi, Martin. How are you doing?
I'm doing well now. Good evening.
By the way, Martin, just very quickly, what do you reckon people's obsession with crime is, particularly true crime? And primarily, by the way, it seems to be women. And I have no idea why that is. Why it's women that are obsessed with crime. You know, these kind of crime TV shows and everything else, you know, Murdered in 24 Hours, all those kind of ones. It's primarily women that watch them. What's that all about?
Well, I can't speak as to why women watch them. I mean, as you know, I don't have a television, but I do on the internet. I do myself. I watch them. For me, it's primarily, I'm kind of putting myself in the place of the cops, you know.
Mm.
What would I have done differently? And I have to say, quite often, the ineptitude, no matter which country you go to, some of them are just handled appallingly, because the cops go in quite often with a preconceived idea.
Yeah.
And they run with that preconceived idea. It's probably just a human failing on all of our parts. We all have preconceived ideas about all kinds of things. But
By the way, just an interesting one to watch, by the way, if people have them. I know you don't have Netflix, but I watched it last night. It's called How to Rob a Bank, and it's on Netflix. And it's a documentary about, you know, when a prolific bank robber in the United States called Hollywood was his nickname. That's what the cops nicknamed him. And, you know, he was kind of one of these people where the public were kind of on his side, because he never actually killed anybody or shot anybody. And it was a kind of weird one. But it's a really interesting story. I don't want to tell you the end of it, but it's called How to Rob a Bank. It was in Seattle. It happened in Seattle. But he robbed, I don't know, about 17 or 18, 19 banks very successfully without killing anybody or hurting anybody. So it's an interesting documentary, but you should watch it. It's called How to Rob a Bank. But sorry, Martin, but getting back to, I suppose, why you wanted to come on, what is it you wanted to talk about in particular?
Well, no, it's not that, I mean, change has called me there, kind of. I had made a few, I'd sent a few texts earlier on. Just on the topic of successful relationships, I think, looking back, for me, yeah, you're absolutely right. I agree with you entirely on outside influences into a relationship. It can be really, really damaging to allow those influences to move in. But I also think it's important for couples in a relationship to remember how to have fun together. I think life can kind of get in the way of that, you know?
Yeah.
You know my situation. I'm sure most of the people who are regulars, if they heard me, they'll know. And when I look back, I think, you know, when we were younger, we had so much fun. I mean, we really did. It was as simple as kind of, you know, racing along a beach, or, you know, going to a concert and lifting my wife up on my shoulders and all those things. Now, I'm not suggesting that at 64 I could lift my wife if she was still with me onto my shoulders. But what I'm saying is the the ability to remember, how to have fun. Yeah, the world gets in the way, all kinds of things get in the way, but I think now and again you have to go, okay, put all that aside, put all our obligations and everything else to other people, and, you know, just you and I, we're going
to
have fun.
Do you have
now,
to be selfish? You know? Do you have to be a little bit selfish? Do you have to be a little bit selfish every now and again and think of yourselves?
Well, I think you have to be selfish with regard to yourself and your partner, if you know what I mean.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Together,
This is our time. This is our time to have some fun because we're entitled to this. All the problems, all the other issues will still be there. But let's have some fun now. Let's just be as daft, as lunatic, as crazy as we were when we were in our 20s. You know,
that's what I love about my wife, by the way. My wife, she's a bit mad. in a loving and fun way, but you know, and she's just a supportive and wonderful person, and we have great fun together.
And that's exactly that's the point I was trying to make in that.
You've actually met her.
I have, of course, absolutely, and she is. She's a wonderful woman. I had some. Please don't take this the wrong way. I had some great fun with her. We had some, you know, charming, kind of really fun conversations when we were out on the campaign trail there. Yeah. You know, she is a wonderful person, as are you, Niall. If you weren't, I wouldn't be speaking to you. But
thanks.
No, I think it's just to remember how to have fun together. You know, you won't have fun all the time. You can't do that all the time.
No, of course, there's responsibilities.
But if you can remember every now and again, if you can remember every now and again how to have some fun together. Because if you can't have fun now and again, I think the other things become kind of obligations. You see them as obligatory. Yes, of course, you have to have honesty. You have to have integrity. You have to have all the things that were mentioned earlier. But fun is also part of, you know, it's part of the kind of mortar. As is, I mentioned some long time ago, you know, the physical relationship is part of the mortar that bonds the bricks of a relationship together. So is having fun. So is just saying, look, the world is the way it is. We're always going to have some issue or some problem, finances or, you know, one of the kids is sick or whatever else. I'm not saying you have fun while the kids are sick. I'm saying that when the kids are better, you think to yourself, let's have a little bit of fun.
If I could ask you personal questions before we go, right, if it's not too personal, okay, so obviously people know because you mentioned before that you're going through a separation or divorce, right? Would you like to be with somebody else? Have you got a plan? You know, is that what you'd like? Or are you kind of happy out of the moment just being Martin?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm happy. I'm certainly content. I mean, I'm not unhappy. Of course I would like to have a relationship with a woman that you know, that I felt a genuine bond to. I've said before, I've only ever had a relationship with my wife, you know. But if I was to meet another woman, which I hope I will, I'm always on the lookout. I don't go. I'm not a predator. Yeah, yeah, don't get me wrong.
I'm prowling.
But I'm always. I'm always thinking. You know, if I meet a woman, you know, I'm not thinking immediately can I have a relationship with this woman. But it's always it's an organic process. You know, as I meet them again and again and again. What have
you
we got in common?
Yeah.
You know, you do. You never know. I mean, it's just, you know, it's part of the tapestry of life. And who knows, maybe, I mean, remember the conversation we had about the Norse? Never met her again. Been back to the hospital numerous times. Always looking out and never seen that woman again.
Maybe she was all in your imagination, Martin. No, I'm joking. Anyway,
no, I don't think I'm imaginative enough for that. She was real. She was real.
The woman of your dreams.
Yeah, that's just.
But look, Martin, thank you very much indeed for joining us towards the end there. I appreciate it. Thank you very much indeed. Martin says, of course, yes, teamwork is vital in any kind of relationship. By the way, everything is vital in a relationship. All of those things are a small part of a relationship. The communication, the no secrets, the trustworthiness of, you know, trusting your partner and you haven't trusted them, you know, the financial security, the stability, the intimacy. All of those things are really important in a relationship, but they're all only small things in a relationship. They're all like little ingredients in a cake. And here's the way I kind of describe the relationship. Relationship is a cake. You're making a cake and it's the most beautiful cake in the world. And you put your sugar in and you put your milk in, your eggs in, your flour in and your cinnamon and whatever else you put into your cake to make your vanilla sponge, right? And all of those things are important. So if one of those things is not good, or there isn't enough of it, the taste cake doesn't taste too good. If you don't have enough flour, in other words, you don't have enough trustworthiness, or you don't have enough cooperation or support, you know, then it's not going to taste too good. If you don't have enough egg, i.e. you don't have enough intimacy, or you don't have enough, I don't know, financial support or stability, well, then the cake's not going to taste good. So everything that you're missing stops the cake from tasting good. So all of those ingredients in...
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.